This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hi, this is Lauren Baker with Search Engine Ploy. Today, one of my special guests is Dennis. Dennis, I'm going to try to pronounce your last name, so please forgive me. Dennis Hootahabuda? Okay, I'll just hang it over to you.
Hootahabuda.
Okay, Dennis G., a longtime friend and colleague in the world of SEO and content. Dennis, how about a nice introduction for the listeners?
Well, thank you for having me, Lauren. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I've listened to the previous ones, and it sounds like an interesting kickoff for a new project that you have here. I spent around 9.5 years at eBay, the world's largest marketplace for everything that you can buy and sell. I started in the Netherlands, where I'm from. And then I moved over to the U.S. in 2006. I was the director of global SEO at eBay for a couple of years. And then I moved over with a short intermezzo to Airbnb. Also a two-sided marketplace, but now in the travel, lodging, and house rental space, where I spent around 2.5 years running their global SEO program. And now I'm at Fanatics. Fanatics is a very large e-commerce retailer of licensed sports merchandise. So we power a lot of the large league shops, so front-end, back-end, and fulfillment of NFL.com, NHL.com, and NBA.com, and a large number of media sites as well, and team sites.
And if you look at those three companies, it's interesting because you have eBay being auctioning and online sales, Airbnb being the sharing economy of space and monetization of rooms or apartments, and then Fanatics being more so e-commerce-driven merchandise. But it seems like the common denominator of all three of those companies is community-driven marketplace.
Yeah, and B2C, so to speak, or C2C right. Even. eBay at the end was a lot of large-scale sellers, and Airbnb is still in the infancy where private persons are renting out their space. So it's very consumer-focused, as well as with Fanatics, where we sell directly to the consumer, where everybody that buys something online for sports merchandise, there's a very big chance that we touch that package.
Before we get started discussing content and SEO, I wanted to just kind of, and I just thought about this question now, but I just wanted to kind of dip into a little bit of, you know, what are some of the benefits of working in a marketplace style scenario? Because, you know, I've worked in, you know, marketplaces that do not have a sense of community before, maybe traditional real estate,
yes,
or some online dating properties and things like that, where you're really looking at a group of codes and different profile pages and listings pages, as opposed to, you know, working with something that has that base. So what are some of the advantages that you've had working with, I'd say, passionate communities, whether it's the sellers on eBay or with Airbnb, or the fan base that you're working with now with Fanatics?
Yeah, I would say that Airbnb and eBay are similar, to the point that the actual description of the item or the listing where you're going to stay in are not under control of the company, but are user-generated content. Right. It's a massive user-generated content machine where you get a choice of words or keywords that people pick that you might not have thought about. Mm-hmm. So it could be a blessing in disguise, or it could be very, very difficult to optimize for certain keyword terms because some owner of a property have called it like the great dream escape for your Valentine's Day, right, where it doesn't say anything in the title around the number of rooms or the amenities or what kind of property it is. But still, you get a lot of the speak that the actual customer might be typing in into the search box and in a search engine, where we as SEOs are too much keyword focused and like, I want to have this keyword in there and I want to make sure that we're ranking on that keyword. Sometimes you're too much siloed in your thinking and you forget how people actually search.
Well, that's really interesting too, because, you know, over the years, we've all seen trends in SEO as we've gotten away from exact match, right? And I'm totally like derailing the conversation, but we've all seen trends in SEO as we've gotten away from exact match links or exact match key terms, and more so going towards natural speech patterns, speech modifiers, natural queries. So, you know, when you're dealing with community generated content, I mean, you can give them guidelines, so to speak. You can give, hey, maybe the best way to describe your place is a certain kind of house. What kind of house is it, or what kind of something there? But it sounds like sometimes by giving the power to the people, so to speak, to communicate what they're bringing to the table, that may have kind of foreshadowed changes in search altogether.
Yeah, and you're talking about a massive scale there.
Right.
The growth of it at Airbnb is phenomenal, but eBay was already at a scale where at any time of day, there are 100 million items listed on the US site. So you have 100,000 pages that has content on there, which is all user generated with some specific unique items in there. You can think about, like, years ago we had the grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah,
with the Holy Mary on it.
Actually, I got a lot of traffic to that on SEJ because that was probably what, 2004, 2005. Like, it seemed like it was kind of in the heyday of blogging, and that was,
I think it was earlier. Yeah,
yeah, and that was trending on Google News. So yeah. I was writing about a story a day about that grilled cheese sandwich, because my blog posts would show up in Google News, which was in its infancy at the time as well. And that would just drive mad traffic. And I would get people commenting on my blog about the grilled cheese sandwich, but not going, I don't even know if those the ability for eBay to comment on eBay at the time, right? But
no.
Yeah, they would comment their thoughts on the grilled cheese sandwich on my blog when I was just basically a conduit passing the Google user through my site onto eBay just to arbitrage that traffic a little bit. So
and you probably had a link there, right?
Oh yeah, it wasn't an affiliate link because I wasn't that too.
No, but I mean that's what I mean. Like those unique items.
Yeah.
All drive a lot of links to the platform, which drives a lot of your domain authority, which, like, one of my big black spots in SEO is link building, because I didn't have to link build for eBay, nor did I have to do it really for Airbnb, because look at all the unique properties on Airbnb, where you can stay on. Obviously, I would like to get more links because it still works, but I wouldn't go after like link building strategies. And it was also a blessing in disguise, because like I knew that from a very early stage on that the search engine would go down would go after the link building strategies. But yeah, that was about the two-sided marketplaces. It's a big opportunity for those companies to harness the power of the community and to make sure that you educate them. And as you grow, all those unique listings are content on your site, which will generate a SEO footprint, which can drive a lot of traffic.
Absolutely.
On the Fanatics side, it's the Fanatics that love their sports teams, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You can see the battles going on Twitter and on Facebook when somebody is beating somebody else's team and you're poking the other fans and saying, hey, we're beating you. That is passion that goes really deep. So I'm trying to tap into that.
Yeah. How do you tap into that passion? And I've seen some of the stuff that you've done with the maps and jersey sales per state. And did you do one on the different neighborhoods of Manhattan? And it was an NBA jersey one. Yeah.
We did a small video on the NBA jersey sales in New York for the All-Star game, where we looked at the different jerseys that were being sold in the different boroughs in New York, because the All-Star game was held in New York. over the course of the NBA season. And you saw changes as different teams did better over the course the season. You actually saw Stephen Curry coming up as one of the high sales jerseys in New York, which is interesting. And those kind of things, we're scratching the surface right now. I think we can do even more creative things with content around sales numbers, search numbers, and all those kind of things. Because a map of the most sales jersey across the U.S. becomes boring pretty fast if you milk that story for like four or five times.
On the user-generated marketplace side of things, you had the challenges and opportunities of directing the flow of links, right? The natural flow of links you would get to the site, the grilled cheese example, because that yes. product expires. And then with what you're tapping into right now with the fan base at Fanatics, you have that fan base that is really craving for something to have a discussion around, right? Anyone yeah. that reads comments on ESPN or CBS Sports or anything knows that those folks are very, very passionate about their teams. And one thing you also touched upon was not needing much of an SEO, linking strategy previously. It was harnessing the links that you were obtaining. Now, the one thing that I've definitely learned and seen over the years as, in the world of SEO, right? I mean, there's always been a content component to SEO, but, ever since Penguin rolled out, the link builders became content marketers. And I still feel that with a lot of the SEO-driven content marketing campaigns that I see out there, there is still that emphasis on the amount of links the link authority will obtain, obtaining this amount of links over the next number of months or so, which in the grand scheme of things, if you're talking about content marketing, can be a little bit short-sighted, say, compared to a content campaign that a large brand like a Coca-Cola or Airbnb is rolling out over the course of a year, right? Yeah. So I hear that you've been working on some different approaches to that.
Over the years that I did SEO, I had to rely on frameworks to explain it to people who don't live and breathe SEO on a day-to-day basis. So when I was at eBay, we developed a framework which could be used to explain it to all the levels in the organization. So I presented to a lot of the engineers, to content people, to PR people, and the whole executive staff of eBay. So from the CEO, CFO, and all the big honchos, so to speak. So you really have to, I don't want to say dumb it down, but make it consumable for them to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it.
So shapes and acronyms usually come in very well when you're doing that, right?
Yes. So my acronym for that framework is LUMPS. Okay. It stands for links, URLs, meta tags, page content, and sitemap and site speed.
All right.
And they drive the most important concepts of SEO, which is discovery. How your content is getting discovered, because if you don't get discovered by the crawlers, you won't get indexed, you won't get ranked, you won't get any traffic. Then it's relevancy. How relevant are you to the query of the users typing in? And then if you have multiple relevant content pieces, like documents, so to speak, in the formal W3.org terminology, it comes down to the authority of the website. And as a brand like eBay, they brought already a lot of authority to the table. But then again, you still need to tap into new kind of pieces of content to build your authority in different spaces. So as an example, I worked very closely with their PR and communications team years ago to establish eBay as one of the e-commerce mobile players in the market space. So we had a consistent strategy around content, PR, product announcements, and product refreshes around mobile e-commerce.
So positioning eBay to be a leader in mobile e-commerce while it was emerging meant that it was always top of mind for whoever was writing about that subject matter. Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. So I see SEO as the outcome of a very well-designed product. Mm-hmm. And that means that it's not only looking pretty, but it actually works from a UX perspective. And epic content. And epic content is part of a new framework that I've developed over the course of the last 8 months on top of my LUMS framework, where I saw that there is an opportunity for specifically SEOs to understand that if you create content, as long as not adding value or changing the behavior of your consumer, it's actually not valuable content, but it's as content is changing the behavior and you can start have people act on it, it actually becomes content marketing.
Gotcha. So let's go over this framework a little bit, Dennis.
Yeah.
How does this framework, how will we visualize this?
So it's a pyramid. It's actually based on a framework that WPP brought into their arsenal of tools years ago called the brand pyramid. The brand pyramid is built on a notion of if you want to build a brand, you start at the bottom, at the base of your pyramid. You need to lay down a very strong foundation for your brand for people to even do a trial of your product.
Right.
So if you have a new brand, you would need to build that presence in a marketplace for people to notice you and to start trying your products out.
So you build the strong foundation, which is long-lasting, tangible, and people will interact around it. And then where do you go from there?
Yeah, so as people move up in liking your brand and your products and become more like the affinity for your brand is starting to build in them, they move up to the higher levels of the brand pyramid. Up to a moment that they're at the top of the pyramid and they're totally fanboys of your brand. They're your ambassador and they would tell everybody that they know and their friends and their neighbors and family how awesome your products are. And they don't even consider using a different brand.
Gotcha.
Now, one example of such a brand is Apple, for instance. There are so many people who don't even consider buying a Windows machine or an Android phone or anything else that is not Apple. And the higher people are at the brand pyramid, the bigger share of wallet you can capture from them in terms of their disposable income.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that consider buying a Apple iWatch for $15,000, the gold one, and that is a big share of your disposable income, unless you're a sheik in the Middle East or something.
Well, it's interesting about Apple, too, that you bring that up. Apple's a great example of laying down that foundation. Like, they had their trials and tribulations, but it took them there's the 1984 Macintosh commercial. Right.
Yeah.
That was really a turning point for them beyond the Apple IIe. And then I don't know off the top of my head, the iPod, I'm thinking, came out or became popular in maybe 2001, 2002. So you're talking about 20 years between the time they broke the mold and became more than a library or school computer and until the time the iPod, to me, was the beginning of them developing that brand loyalty, right? And,
yes.
And it took time, all of the different changes internally aside, but that takes time. You cannot do that overnight. You cannot build the top of the pyramid first, so to speak, right?
Because your top of the pyramid will fall over, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't have a strong foundation and the other layers that need to support the top. Now, I've been thinking, how can you create more SEO value or more of an impact through SEO with content that also builds your brand? And thinking through how you build a brand through that brand pyramid started to dawn on me that, hey, if you do content to be findable in search engines, and that's actually the lower level, like your foundation of your brand pyramid. And so I created what I call the content brand pyramid, how to create a brand through SEO using content marketing with different kind of layers of your content that appeal to different stages of your brand evolution. So you start with building a presence online. or a presence through your content. And it's not necessarily online. You can also start thinking about it. How can you apply this offline? What kind of content do I want to have offline that start to build that presence of my brand in the marketplace that people start to notice?
Right.
And so, for instance, with Airbnb, we created a lot of neighborhood guides in different cities where the team launched this a week before I joined. And luckily, I was already I already signed my contract and stuff. So I was pulled in 3 weeks and I was able to shine my light a little bit about the structural SEO technicalities of the platform. But it was really a way to tap into this presence content piece that Airbnb was pursuing. At the time, they were looking at it from a local lens and how can we apply our local knowledge to incentivize people to travel to a certain city.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with those neighborhood guides is that they were very well designed and very visual, but were ranking really well on the neighborhood name. But because we didn't have a lot of presence content on there, we were not findable on any kind of long tail queries around these neighborhood names. So what I created as a test case were a number of long-form articles in a certain city, Berlin in this case, where we were talking about the history of the U-Bahn, what kind of food you can find in Berlin, other landmarks like the television tower in Berlin. Obviously, the wall was a big topic. So that was the foundation for our presence content for our content brand pyramid.
And what I love about that, actually, I was using some of the neighborhood guides from Airbnb in a recent presentation, and those guides are a great example of brand-driven content marketing because the example I was using was Echo Park in Los Angeles, and the neighborhood guides rank for a ton of terms. Echo Yes. Park, Echo Park bars, things to do in Echo Park restaurants. And they're not transactional terms
Nope.
that is being targeted. It's a very different way to think about SEO because it's introducing the brand to the searcher who does not have transaction at top of mind, but through the funnel, they can land there, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you can always... I'm not sure if you guys are doing this, but you could retarget to them afterwards if they were on that page because you know they were looking at the Echo Park area, yada, yada, yada. But it's really interesting because I was thinking about it. And then also with Berlin, I'm sure if I was to get online right now and I was to start searching for like restaurants in Berlin and things to do while visiting Berlin and things like that, I would see those types of articles. So you're talking about a business becoming the photos or the travel guide to the user upon their journey, which is excellent branding and positioning.
Yeah. Well, it's at Airbnb, there is the concept of storyboarding that they do with everything. Every project that's being planned, it needs to make one of the frames in their storyboard easier for the customer. So they pictured every important part of the journey for the guest and the host, and they built frames around this, where the neighborhood guides are obviously the top of funnel traffic. Where do I want to go and how do I get there and what to bring? And then later, when you come to your destination, you're going to explore the area where you're staying, so you would like to know what you need to look out for, right? Like what kind of landmarks, are there museums that you would like to visit? Hey, there's some local knowledge that is not displayed online. You would like to know that. So those kind of things, those frameworks are very helpful in determining what you're going to work on. Now, in this particular example, we use the presence layer as a foundation for a bigger content brand pyramid for Airbnb in Berlin, where last year it was the 25th year anniversary of the wall coming down. Now, Airbnb is very smart in doing studies what the economic impact of their users is in certain cities around the world. This helps with talking to government bodies, to special interest groups, and they print a report of around 40 pages, but they don't publish it online. So what I did is I took all the information, I distilled it in a very simple form, and we built an interactive infographic online for the Berlin Impact Economic Impact Study, which links to the long-form articles on the neighborhood pages. Right. So this is your next layer in the content brand pyramid, where through studies or data sharing, you build a certain trust and authority in a market. And if you present it in a very visual and appealing way, people like to consume that content, and journalists like to link to it, and you would like to share it on social sites. On top of that, you can do some social media content amplification through paid and targeting those editors that you would like to see write about these pieces of content. So you can think about writers that write on Smashing Magazine because it's a beautiful piece of artwork. We commissioned actually a designer from Berlin for this piece of the design of the infographic. So that's your next layer of the content brand pyramid. And you might do the presence layer ongoing and publishing content year round. The next layer you might do once a quarter or one every month. Right. That really depends on your budget and your ability to execute on these. Now, the top of the pyramid is actually you would do once a year or twice a year, and big brands would do it once a quarter or even every month. Like Coca-Cola might have every quarter a new campaign, but it costs like $40 million to produce and to execute on it. This is what I call the top of the pyramid is epic content. And I, again, with acronyms, epic stands for it needs to be engaging because people would love to share it. It needs to be profitable. It needs to drive your business. It needs to be informational. So you cannot fluff things together. You need to actually have sources to reference, and needs to be cultural relevant. People would love cultural relevant items. So engaging,
profitable, informational, and culturally relevant.
Yes.
Love it.
That's what I see epic content stands for. And so for the 25th year anniversary of The Wall last year, we had an epic story that brings goosebumps to my arms every time I speak about it.
Funny enough, mine too. Like last time I watched the video, I can just feel it, right? Yes. I'm not even from Europe.
Yeah, we had a story submitted to one of our senior staff members years ago. It's been told a lot of times, but because it was so cultural relevant, we decided to make an animated film about it. And it's a story about a former West Berlin Wall guard who was psychologically damaged by walking the wall and being indoctrinated by the fact that the other side was bad. And he moved away to Denmark, married, got a daughter, and was never able to shrug off the feeling that he had walking the wall.
Right.
So at one point, his daughter decided to bring him back to Berlin and show him what kind of place it had become. And she booked an Airbnb in East Berlin to showcase him that it's actually a really nice place, and people from East Berlin are people too, and we can all live together now. So they come to the Airbnb, and the person who was bringing the key for the owner, they started talking and the purpose of the trip, and it actually happened that he used to be a guard at the wall as well, but on the east side. So they started talking, compare notes, dates and places, and was the exact date or time of the wall that they were both guards, similar routes that they walked, and actually became, through the conversation, very friendly to each other. And it opened up a whole new world for the former East Wall Guard.
It's amazing.
Because the, and this is something that was not captured in the film, the East German Guard actually traveled through Europe on his bicycle and stayed at people's homes. How good is that for a company that tries to open everybody's homes to stay in?
Wow.
So it was an amazing story, and I saw the potential while talking to Marcus Stendler in February. So I had to shop this around within the company, and as soon as Airbnb hired a new CMO from Coca-Cola, Jonathan Mildenhall, and I pitched this to him in my SEO deep dive, he said, yeah, we need to do something with this because it's such a good piece of content, and executed well, you have the potential of earning a disproportionate amount of media coverage in a very cultural moment and be part of the conversation while not forcing yourself into the conversation. People like to share this. So as you see similarities between the content brand pyramid and the brand pyramid at the top, you earn a disproportionate amount of the share of wallet. And the content brand pyramid, you earn a disproportionate amount of media coverage and time and engagement of people online, which could result in better SEO through media coverage, links in that coverage, it's the conversation that is happening, et cetera, et cetera.
And just being part of the game where you can, like when you came in during the Neighborhood Guide program 3 weeks before launch and had the ability to make sure things were sound from a technical SEO perspective,
yes,
to make sure there's going to be benefit from all of this, right? So great story. By the way, the Berlin Wall video. What's the proper name for that video? Short, by the way.
Wall and Chain.
Oh, yes. Wall and Chain. The animation quality on that was amazing. When I first watched it, I was thinking, wow, this is, you know, this is Oscar short animated film quality material right here.
Yes.
So even taking the time to, I mean, not everyone can do this, but I mean, if you have a smaller budget, you still can make sure that you're putting out something of quality, right? Because it only takes your time to be able to give a designer a direction or put together a storyboard or make sure it all really makes sense at the end of the day. So whether you're a startup or a mid-level size business or a larger company, it is quite possible to pull this off at different levels.
And I was privileged to work with a guy like Jonathan who came from Coke and brought in his contacts because we worked with a top-notch animation studio, PsyOps, in New York, and a very, very good advertising agency in Berlin. We wanted to work with a local agency, VCCP. So he brought in his network, which we could rely on. But again, the animation is full with details that live and breathe our values and the brand, the Bela you see back.
Yeah.
And it was a very interesting project to work on. Now, you bring up a very good point. If you put out a piece of content that beautiful, and it's like what you say, almost Oscar-winning short movie, you have the ability to submit it to awards as well. Yeah. Which would get you another round of media attention and possibilities of bringing it back to the audience and build your brand through this content. And as you connect the top of the pyramid to the lower levels of the pyramid, all that trust and authority that you gain with a piece of content like that that is being talked about, written about, will flow to the lower levels of your pyramid and only strengthen the whole pyramid by itself and make those long-form articles on the Neighborhood platform even pop more.
And it's even amazing how that works, because one thing that I've always struggled with being an SEO consultant or a content marketing consultant or whatever you want to call it is being able to bring all of the pieces to the table to make sure that, hey, SEO is in on this, but is social in on this too? And what about PR? Do they know this is coming up? And how about your email newsletter list? And it's when all of that comes together, when the SEO-driven content is communicated throughout the rest of the company, and sometimes this takes more time as well. It can take a 3-4 months to get all of this together. But when you have that sweet spot, right, that spark of everything finally working together, what happens is, I mean, one recent campaign that I was working on that comes to mind is for a retailer. And we basically did a piece on, you know, customizing your clothes, customizing your jeans, so to speak, because we saw that that was extremely popular amongst their consumer market. And what happened was there was that initial push, right, from the site and outreach to influencers. And then social loved the concept so much when they shared it throughout their own social channels. They had some of the highest interaction that they've ever had on Facebook, even Instagram. What's happened over time is that even almost a year after putting out that content, it's ranking across the board in Google, and new people are finding it. New influencers are finding it. It's getting new shares. It's getting new inbound links, and it's getting new traffic. And really, at the end of the day, it's a testament to taking the time to make sure all of that was put together and there was really a plan and strategy behind it. And that's why, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier about SEO and link building, is that sometimes it's like, hey, we need to get this many links. What do we do? But like, sometimes it's, hey, let's kind of sit back and look at the big picture and how can we all work together to make sure that you're not only obtaining links that are possibly helping you from an SEO perspective, but more so the traffic and storytelling that's going to help you for the eternity of your brand.
Exactly.
And building upon that.
So I'm going to set up a new site that explains the whole concept around the content brand pyramid. It's going to be on contentbrandpyramid.com. I will explain how I got to this framework based on the earlier mentioned LIMS framework. I'm going to collect examples where I see this happening in our industry. And I'm going to give the opportunity to readers as well to submit their own stories and see if we can collect a lot of content brand pyramids along the way. And maybe we can even develop additional frameworks on top of this. What I'm really focused on is build a framework that works for additional people and see how this can help building brands online through search, through social, and through content marketing.
Fabulous. Thanks so much, Dennis. Thanks again for joining us here today on Search and Deploy. Be in touch soon. Thanks again. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm sure if we had the chance, we could talk all day, especially if it was in a gazebo over a couple of beers. And thanks again. Dennis G with Fanatics. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, dear Lord.